Lord God, as we are standing physically right now in your presence in the midst of the body of believers of Jesus Christ, may these not be only words that ring hollow in the hearts of men. But rather, Lord God, may they be our anthem. May they be our fight song. That here I will stand. And though hell come against me, you have already defeated hell itself. Lord God, whatever it is that we are walking through this week, I pray that you would help us to walk with head held high, with arms raised up, with confidence in the fact that you have already conquered death, our greatest enemy, and you've already conquered sin on the cross. There is nothing left to fear, not even fear itself. There's nothing to fear. For you, Lord God, are God enthroned in heaven. Your Son, Jesus Christ, has been given all authority both in the heavens and on the earth. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning that our faith would not be in our biblical knowledge, that our faith would not be in our passionate, intense worship, that our faith would not be in anything that we do, but that our faith would be firmly rooted in what Christ has already done and promised to do. Amen. Our faith is not in ourselves, but it is in you, your Son, your Spirit, and your Word. I pray, Lord God, that we, your church, would act like it. Mm. I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm. And amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. We continue on in our series on miracles with healed. Right, we're going to break out the 2-3 syllable name of Jesus. Right, it's not Jesus, it's Jesus. Right, no, we're going to get rid of all that. We're going to debunk all the TV evangelist kind of shows, sideshow, three ring circus sorts of things. But we are going to get into the Word of God today, and we're going to look at what He has to say about the healing power of God. We know that He is called the great physician. We know that He created all things and that all things must bow and bend to His will eventually, even humanity. We know that even those who refuse to claim the name of Jesus Christ will one day bow. At some point in time, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. Satan himself cannot keep himself from kneeling before the Almighty God at the end of days. We just get to determine whether we're there already in worship and praise as sons and daughters or whether we will be forced to our knees in admiration of the one who now condemns us at the eternal judgment. We are in the book of James, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 13 through 16. 13 through 16. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Well, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Lord God, help us to hear your word and to believe it. And not just as an intellectual exercise where we can memorize the verses and quote them back in the opportune moments of life, but rather, Lord God, as people who act upon your word. Help us to not be, as James in other locations calls, an ineffectual hearer of the word who, once having looked into the mirror, walks away and forgets what he looks like. But rather, help us to be effectual hearers of your word today. People who actually do what your word says. And that is what you would bless. I pray, Lord God, that in this moment, in these next few moments, you would bless the very words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they would be pleasing and acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is power in the blood, and God loves and serves the humble. He is our humble King. I want to start off today, and I'm going to just kind of give you a heads up. We've got an anointing service planned at the end of the sermon. We're going to have a testimony from a wonderful lady who's going to share with you her story of being miraculously healed in an anointing service. And then we're going to go into that moment at the end of the service where if you are sick and in need of healing, we ask that you will at that time come forward to the altars. The elders will come forward, will lay hands on you, will anoint you with oil, and we will pray in faith that you be made well. That's what's coming. With that coming in our service, then I want you to know that I'm going to kind of try to run through the sermon points today. So we're going to lack a little bit of the flourish and maybe a few of the illustrations. Point number one. I want to look at what the variables are of this praying for healing thing. And so point number one is humility. Humility. We talked about in the songs we've sung already that he is the king of the humble, and he is the humble king, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. What we don't deserve, he gives grace to the humble. Well, it is no different in this situation either. He doesn't say stay at home so that nobody else knows what's going on. He does not say do whatever you want to do. Just you privately by yourself in your prayer closet, ask me to heal you and that's what will happen. He doesn't do that at all, does he? In fact, he lists a process here by which we have to submit ourselves to his will in the very asking. Humility is required for this. You have to come before your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You have to come before your fellow men and admit that there's something wrong. And it might not be your fault, but there's something wrong. I'm sick. I'm broken in some way. And I need the Lord's healing touch in my life. That is humbling. It is humbling in several ways. Number one, it's humbling in the fact that others know your business, right? This is the one thing we usually try to avoid at all costs. We don't want other people to be in our business. Get your nose out of my business. Don't get in my face. I don't want you to know all the sordid details. I don't want you to know the backstory. I dress up and clean up for church on Sunday for a good reason, so you don't see the way I look the rest of the week. We try to act like we believe God wants us to act. We try to pretend like everything's going on well. And there's some problems that lead to this. Number one is the thought that if there's something wrong with me, there must be something wrong with me. Right? I mean, it sounds like a truism, but that if there's something wrong, then there must be something wrong with me. I must have done something wrong. I must have failed God in some way. I must have somehow become an unrighteous, ungodly person. I must have been a horrible sinner for this to have happened to me. But the Bible is very clear that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. That good things happen to bad people, and that bad things happen to good people. I mean, the reverse is also true, but those things kind of go against the grain. It's like petting a cat backwards, it doesn't sit real well for that. We don't sit real well for that either emotionally, but yet we want everybody else to believe that we've got it together. Oh yeah, we'd be more than willing to admit, yeah, I'm not perfect. If I were to ask you to raise your hands if you're not perfect, everybody here would go, yeah, dutifully raise their hands, except a few that would be kind of joking or just feel like it's such a stupid thing to do, I'm not going to bother raising my hand. We all know we're not perfect. And we also don't want them to think that we don't have it together as well as they have it together. Right? I'm more than willing for you to realize my imperfection if it's equivalent to or better than your imperfection. So we're always waiting for the other person to open the door. We're always waiting for the other person to reveal the truth first. We're always waiting for somebody else to let down their guard. And so we all kind of congregate together waiting for the other person to admit life's not perfect for me either. That you would feel okay with sharing how your life's not altogether perfect too. We do this little dance on Sundays where we smile and shake hands. And we should. I certainly don't want to be the church well known for frowning and cursing each other when we come to church in the morning. How are you today? I'm horrible. How are you? I'm worse. You know, that shouldn't be who we are either. But there's something to be said for genuine authenticity. I'm kind of struggling this week. Would you mind praying for me? Isn't that the church we all want to go to, and yet we all hesitate to say that? We all want the same reality. We all want a vulnerable place where I can admit what's going on, where I can share my struggles, where I can say I'm weak, and others will help strengthen me. Others will support and encourage me, not look down on me, because they too are struggling. They too are walking through this life imperfectly after their Savior, Jesus Christ. We all want that. We all want a place where we could admit that we failed and know that we won't be condemned for it. Where we can admit that everything's not perfect in a very specific way and not be shunned. And yet we're all waiting for somebody else to start. It's like we're all the girls on the outside of the old square dance halls and sitting in the chairs. We're all waiting for somebody else to come to ask us to dance. If nobody's asking, nobody's going to dance. Somebody's got to start. Somebody's got to be willing to admit. Somebody's got to be willing to humble themselves before the congregation and before God. And so he requires it. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. You have to humble yourself. You can't do this at home. This is not a self-help book. This is a God help me in the presence of your church book. Point number two. It not only takes humility, it also takes faith. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There's a huge, huge connection here. If you do not believe, you are, as James says, you are tossed about by every wind and wave of teaching. Nobody can build a foundation upon you. There is no certainty. There is no assurity. There is no confidence. Faith is belief despite doubt. In fact, biblically, faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is the choosing to believe in what he says and acting upon it despite the reasons for doubt. In fact, if there was no doubt, if there was no possibility of the other side being true, then it wouldn't be faith, it'd be knowledge. Faith is defined not by an inner working, but by an outer working, by outworking of what you say you believe. Faith is demonstrated by action. Once again, James speaks to this in this book. You say you have faith. What is faith without works? It's dead. It's lifeless. It's useless. You say you have faith. You say you believe God can heal. Oh, really? Well, let me show you my faith by my deeds. Faith is not some amorphous little warm fuzzy feeling that comes and goes with the winds and the tides. Faith is how you choose to live in response to what God says. It's very concrete. It's not esoteric. It's not philosophic. Faith is what you do. That's faith. Faith is not what you hope you believe. Faith is what you do because you believe. And the prayer offered in faith with the elders, laying on their hands, anointing with oil, submitting to this process, makes the sick person well. Now, we're not really sure whose faith is required here. It seems to be both and, right? Because it seems like the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. But then it also says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Therefore, confess your sins one to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I'm not sure. It's not like an A plus B plus C equals healed. But I do know that Jesus himself, Son of God, righteous beyond righteous, the Son of God couldn't perform many miracles in Nazareth for their lack of faith. This, once again, is where the problem with humility comes in, because some churches have so overtaught this part that you believe if you don't get healed, it's your fault. And so why would I ever risk going in front of the church and asking for healing? And if God doesn't choose to heal me, then I'm showing the world I'm an unbeliever and a pagan. Right? Because if that's the only variable, that's what that means, isn't it? If that's the only variable involved is your level of faith, then if you don't get healed, you're not a faithful person. And when churches overteach this part as though it's the only variable, they beat their people up in ways their people can't admit to. Everybody has to pretend like they're okay, because to admit otherwise would be to say that I'm not a faith-filled person. I'm not faithful enough. And then instead of honoring and worshiping God, we fall into the trap of honoring and worshiping those people that get healed. Right? That's what comes as a result. That instead of worshiping the Almighty God who heals, we're worshiping the people who get healed, because they've proven by their healing that they are a faithful person. I want you to hear that this is a major variable in whether or not you get healed. It is not the only variable. You could have the same amount of faith and not be anointed with oil, not have the elders pray for you, and yet still not get healed. There's the variable of humility, but there's also, this third one's very big too. There's the variability of righteousness. And you're like, well, that's not making me feel any better. I thought you told me that this was supposed to make me feel better. Okay, so now I'm faithless. I'm also a pagan and unrighteous and ungodly if God doesn't choose to heal me. It says very clearly here, though, that we are to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You can't just believe in God and humble yourself to His process. The people praying, not just the one asking for healing, the people praying have to be righteous, holy. This is our wheelhouse as the Wesleyan Church, preaching on holiness, right? But it makes us all very nervous. Well, am I holy enough? Am I righteous enough? Have I achieved my fourth star and my third rank? Am I still a tenderfoot Christian, or am I a second class, first class Star Life or Eagle Scout Christian? If you weren't in Boy Scouts, that maybe didn't make any sense to you. But have I achieved the rank of Christianhood where now I can actually have powerful prayers? That's not it at all. The righteousness that we enjoy is not of our own making. Let me repeat that. The righteousness we enjoy is not of our own making. Ultimately, what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be, it means to be right with God. It's not your progress report that God is filling out at home, and oh well, S plus, oh well, excellent there. It's not a report card on your spirituality. It's not. Righteousness is about getting right with God. How do we do that? Well, it's very simple. It doesn't require a doctorate degree in theology. It doesn't require 75 years on a prayer team in the church. It doesn't require, in fact, very much. What it does require is that you confess your sins one to another, and that you confess to God every sin you've committed against Him. Now, you can't do that as though a litany, like a Santa Claus list that rolls down the list. I want a red wagon, and I want a doggy, and I want a... But you have to confess your sinfulness to God. seek his forgiveness and repent of what you have done. It's not a big mystery, and it's not a big achievement race where, well, this person must be living better when I'm not watching because they got healed, and this person probably isn't because they didn't. The righteousness we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he provides for us through the power of the cross and of the empty tomb. That all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And therefore, we follow him, we put our faith in him, we do as he has commanded us to do, and his righteousness is applied to us. It's called imputed righteousness. It's not of our creation. It is Christ's righteousness applied to us. Now, does this mean you can just do whatever you want and then say, please forgive me? No. It doesn't mean that. It means that you must truly be repentant of the sins you have committed. Now, if you've been in church long enough, you know the answer to this question, so I'm going to do a Jeopardy here. Repentance, and you're supposed to reply back, what is? If you're going this direction and you repent, what is?
Turning,
right? You go the other direction. Repentance isn't saying I'm sorry. Well, you can be sorry all day long. In fact, never mind. I won't go where my brain was going. Being sorry isn't the same as asking forgiveness. It's not the same as repenting of what you have done. Repenting is truly to be broken of heart and to change your course. To change. It's not enough to say you're sorry. It's not enough to ask for forgiveness. Righteousness is the broken heart coming to the Lord and saying, Father, please forgive me for what I have done and give me the strength to not do it again. To be in that place in your heart and in your very soul where you truly mean that. I don't want to do that sin anymore. I don't want to make room for it in my life. I don't want to make plans in my schedule to where I can somehow arrange that sin to be there again. I don't want to live some cheap grace where I believe that just because Christ died once for all, I get to live however I want. But rather, it's a righteousness that comes from God that is imputed, as they say, but it's also imparted because with the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are given the power to not sin. You have the capacity to refuse Satan, to deny him, and he will flee from you. That is righteousness. It's not a level of your performance. It's a state of your heart. Has your sin broken you? Or do you still love it more than you love Jesus Christ? That's righteousness. And the prayer of that person, the publican beating his breast in the temple, forgive me, Lord, I am a sinner. That prayer is powerful and effective. The Pharisee's prayer, oh, I'm glad you didn't make me like that horrible tax collecting publican over there. That prayer, that's mere empty words. You can look good on the outside and your prayers will be useless. Men, quick aside here, a little tangent. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the scriptures are very clear that if you do not treat your wife in a loving way, God refuses to hear your prayers from heaven. Sorry. Actually, I'm not. It says it right there, black and white. If you are unloving to your wife, if you do not treat her in the way that you should, if you are not Christ for her, he refuses to hear your prayers from heaven. Now, that doesn't mean he's going, la, 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 la. It just means he hears you. And he ain't going to answer. No. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the last variable here. So you've got to be willing to humble yourself. You've got to put your faith in action. You've got to have the righteousness of Christ and the heart of a broken sinner. And then you have to have the realization that it's up to God. It is his will that we are seeking. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not mine. I want to posit for you quickly the prayer of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. No one was more righteous. No one prayed with more fervor or passion. He was sweating blood. He was so fervent in his prayer. And yet he still humbled himself and said, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And God said, "Go die on a cross that I might save the world. And I will raise you up on the third day. And I will exalt you to the highest place in heaven. And I will reward you, my beloved son. But I need you to walk the hill of Calvary." And you say, "Well, that's not really physical healing." The Apostle Paul says, "I prayed 3 times that you would remove this thorn of the flesh from me." And God's answer to him very simply was, "My grace is sufficient." Many of you remember her, and many of you might not. The church has changed over quite a bit since I moved here. Cindy White was a beloved sister in Christ of Bay. She treated me like my mother as soon as she met me, kissed me on the cheek as I came out of the car to come and preach here for the very first time. She suffered through cancer. She prayed faithfully. She was a righteous person. She humbled herself repeatedly. She constantly sought the salvation of her nurses up at Roswell Cancer Institute. And God took her home. And we had a 2-hour-long praise service here that Sunday. And she touched all of our lives in ways beyond counting. I have no idea what God's purpose was in that. But I know he said, "You are my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. But I need you to walk the hill of Calvary." This is not, once again, the miraculous is not the magical. You don't get to say A plus B plus C equals healed. But the beauty of that means it's not in our hands. We come to God and we say, "You are in control. If it is your will, Lord God, please heal me." And when he chooses to, you know it was a choice he made intentionally to say, "I love you. I love you." But when he chooses not to, I want you to hear the words he said to Paul, whom he also loved. "My grace is sufficient for you." And what he said to his only beloved son with whom he was well pleased, "I need you to walk the hill of Calvary." I want to introduce to you somebody who is the proof, if you will. They say the proof is in the pudding. The proof of everything that I have just said to you from the Scriptures, as though you need more proof. She is a beloved saint of God. You know this is true because she's married to a pastor. And to be married to a pastor takes a very saintly person, right? Can I get an amen? She's speechless down here. My wife is speechless. So I want to introduce to you the pastor of Fillmore Wesleyan Church's wife, Bill Lawson's wife, Kim Lawson. If you would please come forward at this time and share with us what God has done for you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I make myself comfortable. I'm honored to be with you this morning. Anytime that I have the opportunity to share what God has done in my life, I just jump at the chance because I believe that God wants me to share this in order for you to just renew your awe of the God that you serve. I think that sometimes in our lives we go along and we go through our daily stuff, and the more routine and normal our lives become, sometimes then the smaller our God becomes. And so I think that it's very important for us to share, all of us to share what God's doing in our lives so that we can be in awe of him all the time. So that is why I'm here today. This particular part of my journey began back in 2003 when I began to have a lot of the symptoms, all the joint pain and fatigue that go along with rheumatoid arthritis. And if you don't really, if you're not familiar with RA, I'll just tell you very quickly that it's not like arthritis that you get because you're getting old. It is a disorder of your immune system where your immune system works overtime and begins to attack your body. And there's a lot of different diseases that are autoimmune disorders, like Crohn's disease and MS, and just there's a lot of different things that attack your body in different ways. And RA attacks your body by eating away at the cushion in the joints, and so it becomes very painful. And the fatigue that goes along with it is really just something I can only describe to you as, you know, when you have the flu and you're so tired because your immune system is just working. Someone with RA's immune system is working all the time, and so you're just tired all the time. And for 12 years, that's how I lived my life. I praise God for the advances in medicine. I praise God that I live now instead of many years ago. I can tell you that I did have the wonderful opportunity of having the saints of my church anoint me with oil and pray over me. And I know for a fact that God's answer to those prayers at that time was not now. And I know that because through the years, he has been so amazing in his provision for me. For those of you, maybe you're not familiar, but the medications that go along with RA are very expensive. And time and time again, God showed up with provision to just help us pay for these medications. And it was just such a blessing to know that, okay, God's not going to take this away right now, but he's going to help me, and he's providing for me, and he's bringing people into my life for me to minister to, and he's using this horrible disease that's in my life as something to be able to minister in other people's lives. And so for years, that's how I went along, and that's how God reassured me of his presence in my life. We'll fast forward. I had gotten to the point with my RA where I was having a lot of problems. My hands were getting very weak. I was having trouble buttoning my clothes, and started buying pants with elastic in them. That's when you know it's bad. And I also had to have a total knee replacement at the age of 44, which doesn't happen very often, which means I'll probably get to have another one because they don't last, what, like 20 years. But through all that, God was so apparent in his presence in my life. In January of 2015, so a little bit over a year ago, my husband and I were blessed to be able to go to Orlando to the gathering of Wesleyan pastors. And it was a great time. But I have to tell you that I believe that they put us in the hotel that was the furthest away from the convention center possible. And it was quite a hike every day. And by the time we got to Thursday night, which was the last night of the gathering, I was exhausted. And plus the fact that we had to go to the outlet mall that day, because that kind of added to it. But I was so tired. I almost didn't go to the last service. I almost just stayed in the room. And I thought, if you go, you're going to regret. If you don't go, you're going to regret it. And so I went, and we were very blessed to be able to have our daughter there as well. She's in a master's program at Indiana Wesleyan studying practical ministry, and she was able to be with us at the gathering as well. And so that evening when we sat down for the service, my husband was on this side and my daughter Cassie was on that side. And the speaker for the night spoke about the power of God to break the chains in our lives. And he carried around this huge chain with him, and he kept dropping it as he would speak, and it would clang on the wooden stage. And I can just hear the sound in my head. And he just kept talking about God is powerful enough to break the chains in your life. And as the service was coming to a close, and the worship team came up, and they began to sing the song, "There is power in the name of Jesus." You know that song? And everybody stood, and they were singing and raising their hands, and I just stayed in my seat. And in the sermon, the pastor had mentioned that as those in full-time ministry, we are blessed to have a front row seat to your lives and how God works in your lives through the good things we're there, through the good, through the babies and the weddings, and we're there through the diseases and the funerals, and it's a privilege. And he encouraged us to pray for the people in our congregations. And so as they were singing that last song, I just stayed seated in my seat, and I started praying through people in our congregation and just lifting them up to God. And as I finished, I prayed, you know, God, we're having a healing service at our church in February. That would be so awesome if you could heal me at that service. And I heard God's voice say to me, why not right now? And I felt the presence of God just come over me in a way that I don't have words to explain to you. I can explain it as a warmth that came down over my body. And I can tell you that I felt the RA leave my body. Amen. And I was just so overwhelmed with the presence of God that I really was having trouble standing. I was having trouble talking. I was having trouble breathing. I was just sobbing and crying. And my husband, I mean, he's in, you know, he's got his hands raised and he's singing and he looks down at me and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, I think that God just healed me. And everyone started filing out of the service. Not a lot of people knew what had just happened in my seat. But I saw one of our dear friends, Joel. And for some reason I said, "Bill, you need to go get Joel. And you need to bring him over here to me." And Bill said, "Okay." So he went and got Joel, he brought him over, and Joel knelt down in front of me and was holding my hands, and we were talking, and he said, "Do you want to go for a walk?" And I said, "Yeah." So he helped me stand up, and I was kind of leaning on him, and we walked down to the front of this big auditorium, and there really wasn't very many people left in there. And he turned around, and he had this evil little grin on his face, and he said, "Okay, now we're going to run back." And I said, "Joel, I don't even know the last time that I ran." And he said, "Well, we're going to do it now." And so we turned around and we ran back up the aisle. And my daughter was standing at the other end. And she hugged me and she said, "Mom, I've never seen you run." We serve an amazing God.
Amen.
I can tell you that all of the pain medications, all of the anti-inflammatories, all the Humira injections, I haven't had any of it for over a year.
Amen.
What God has done is not just heal me because he wanted me to be healed. I don't think it really had anything to do with that. The reason God healed me was so that he could be glorified.
Amen.
He didn't heal me for me, and he's taught me that. And The road since then has been kind of bumpy. Satan's really been busy. But God has used this in so many ways. I can tell you that I did come home, and we did have that healing service at my church. I came home and shared my testimony of what God had done in my life. And the next Sunday, we had 75 people come forward to be prayed for healing. And I can tell you that the miracles that have happened in the people's lives at Fillmore Wesleyan Church are overwhelmingly amazing. We have had two people go in for cancer surgery. When the doctors go in, they can't find the cancer. Amen. We've had people have babies who've been trying for years to get pregnant. We've had people who are in the psych ward because they were so depressed and wanting to take their lives. And they're now so full of joy and sharing their story with God, with people about what God has done in their lives. I could just go on. And that's what God did that day in that seat at the gathering, was start that ball rolling so that people's faith could grow. And it's amazing. And the story's not done. It's not done because we're here today. And so I just pray that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to pray the big prayers, because you know what? We serve a really big God. So don't keep your prayers. Don't keep your God in a small box. But pray. Don't be afraid to pray the big prayers today as we pray together. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to share my story with you today. And I just pray that God blesses you.
At this point in time, I'm going to ask the elders to go ahead and come on forward. We're going to prepare. And if there's something in your life that you need to be healed of or from, these altars are open. And I want you to come forward to humble yourself and to say, Lord God, I believe in your word. I believe what you have said is true. And I want you to please heal me. So we're going to take as long as it takes. If you are ready, come on forward to the altar here. And if when Nancy has been prayed for, the next one that is up, we'll pray for them, okay? I encourage and invite you all to join us in praying as we do so. Now the Bible says we're to anoint with oil, and the elders are to pray for you and lay their hands upon you. So that is what we're going to do. Now Nancy, what is it that you want us to pray for healing?
I've had a disc in my back that's been crunched down. I noticed it in 1986, and I've been going to the chiropractor for all those years, and I know Jesus could heal me.
Amen.
If he chooses.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord God, we come to you with your daughter, Nancy, our beloved sister. We are anointing her with oil, and we are praying for her with our hands on her, as your word has told us. And we are praying, Lord God, first of all, that you would forgive us of our sins and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that our prayers may be powerful and effective. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. And now, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would heal the dislocated back in Nancy's back, that you would take those vertebrae that have been crushed and that you would bring healing and ease to her life. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God that can heal even those things that make no sense. You can touch them and remove them. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would intervene. Lord, it is not about our prayer. It is not about her loss of pain. It is about your name being glorified by our humble obedience. And so, Lord God, we submit to you the will that we have for your will instead. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
amen. 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 Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. Now, are you an elder or are you seeking healing?
I'm seeking healing.
Okay, you are both and. Judy, what is it that you are seeking healing
from? My arthritis and my neck right here.
Okay. Our God, we come to you with our sister Judy, your beloved daughter, and we anoint her. And Lord God, I know that she has prayed fervently without ceasing already, that her faith in you is strong. Lord God, I pray that you would first of all forgive us of our sins, that your Son's blood would wash away our guilt, and that when you see us, you would not see sinners, but rather those made into saints. Lord God, I pray right now for the arthritis that is in Judy's shoulder. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch that very location in her body and that you would heal it. Lord God, that you would remove the pain and the discomfort, that she would be able to, with every single one of her hair clients, Lord, share the testimony of how you have touched her and healed her, not because you love her more than them, but because you are a mighty God and you chose to do so, that your glory would be revealed. I pray, Lord God, that this would not be an ending, but a beginning of your word being testified to robustly in this community. I ask, Lord God, that your kingdom would grow through Judy and from your healing of her shoulder. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you, Judy. Dan, what is it you're coming to seek healing of?
I've been having panic attacks that stem from an anxiety disorder that take away my sleep and my ability to have calm and peace. And they stem from an addiction to pornography that I struggle with. That I'm throwing myself in front of the church. I want those chains to be broken. Amen. I will not let my family be destroyed.
Amen. Lord God, I anoint Dan, who has stared boldly into the face of your word and has chosen to believe it. Who has confessed his sins, asked for your forgiveness, and is now seeking your healing. Lord God, I pray that you would touch not only his life, but the life of his families as well. Lord God, I pray that you would remove the addiction. I pray that you remove the chains of bondage in his life. And I pray, Lord God, that as you do so, you would take the anxiety with it. And that it would just disappear from his life, that it would just dissipate. That he would know that his faith has been placed in you and that he can walk in a holy way in his life. I pray, Lord God, for the gift of holiness to him, not just that of your Son's holiness imputed to him, but also the imparted righteousness, Lord, as well, that he can now walk in a holy way. I pray, Lord God, that this confession would break the bonds of sin in his life and that he would be empowered to walk with you, not just in your name, but by your side, hand in hand. I pray, Lord God, also that this would be a story he could share with his boys, that they would grow up also fearful of nothing but displeasing you. Lord, I pray that you would take away the anxiety, that you would heal his heart, mind, soul, and body. And I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. Bob, what is it you're coming seeking healing for?
Asthma and digestive problems.
Amen. Father God, we anoint our brother, Bob. And we seek your healing. Lord, I pray that you would forgive him of any sins that are in his life. That you would cleanse him from all unrighteousness. And that he would be able to pray this prayer in faith, believing. Lord, I pray that you would remove the asthma from his lungs. That his lungs would be able to fill up with air without pain. That he would be able to walk again upon the hills you have given him to care for without shortness of breath. Lord, I pray that you would heal not only that, but also his digestive issues that he is struggling with and going through. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch his body and heal him. And that he would see this as an opportunity to strengthen his witness to those he loves, those he knows, and those he does not yet know. That they would hear of the mighty God that he serves. I pray, Lord, that you would remove this from him from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Thank you, Bob. Annie, what is it? What is it that you're seeking healing from today?
I have panic attacks every day, and I can't eat, and I can't go out. I have them every day.
Every day.
It's getting harder.
Amen. Lord God, we come to you with our sister Annie. We have anointed her with oil. And the elders are surrounding her, praying, laying their hands upon her. Lord God, I pray that you would forgive her of her sins. That you would cleanse her from unrighteousness. And that she would be as clean as the new driven snow. And Lord God, I pray that she would pray this prayer believing. Lord, I pray that you would heal her from these panic attacks. They're taking over her mind, her heart, and her soul. That are making it harder for her to live, not just joyfully, but at all. It's trapping her in her home. And trapping her from relationships. Lord God, I pray that you would take the anxiety, the overwhelming panic attacks that occur to her. And I pray that you would break the bonds that they have over her life. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal her of it, that she would be able to walk boldly out of her home, boldly into the world you've called her, that she would be able to approach life with joy and with faith and with certainty of your purpose in her life. I pray all of these things, Lord God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Which is mostly fatigue and insomnia. That's really an issue.
Okay. Lord God, we come to you with your daughter, Doralyn, who is praying for healing, believing in you, that you would take away the anxiety, the sleep apnea disorders, all of the insomnia, the fatigue, the fibromyalgia. Lord God, I pray that you would remove the pain from her soul as well as from her body. She would not obsess anymore about the things that are beyond her control but well within yours. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal her from this day forward, that she would be able to look back and not be able to remember the kind of person she was because the person of light she has become, the person of hope and of joy. Lord God, I pray that you would not just do this for her, but that you would do it for her family, whom she serves. I pray, Lord God, that you would do it also for your kingdom, which she serves. And I pray, Lord God, that you would also do it for those who are not yet in your kingdom, whom she seeks to serve. Lord, give her the witness and the testimony. We thank you, Lord God, for the healing of her life from the cancer long ago. And so, Lord God, we know she is a miracle to be here today. Father, we ask that you would touch her life again and heal her of the anxiety, the fibromyalgia, and the problems of sleep and fatigue. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you praying that your student Joshua Ward be removed from your class? No. What is it you're coming to be healed from?
Current abdominal pain that's pretty severe, and the long-term effects that the Crohn's disease has had on my body, and headaches.
What was the last part?
Headaches.
Headaches. Okay, gotcha. Lord God, we come to you with our sister Shannon, who has been suffering with Crohn's for a long time. And we ask, Lord God, that you would heal her of it. Much like rheumatoid arthritis, Lord God, her body is attacking itself. Father, I pray that you would heal her body from the top of her head to the heels of her feet. I pray, Lord God, for a release from the pain in the digestive tract that she is currently struggling through right now, even now. And I pray that you would take it away. I pray, Lord God, also for the healing of the long-term effects of the Crohn's that she has been suffering from, the headaches that she has currently. And ultimately, Lord God, I pray that you would heal her of Crohn's itself, that not only would the symptoms be touched, but that the root cause would be rooted out, yes, and that you would heal her of it. Lord God, we come to you asking this in faith, believing, humbled, and seeking your will to be done in her life. Lord God, I pray that you would touch her, that Cuba Rushford Central School would never hear the end of your amazing power to heal a scientist, no less. I thank you, Lord God, for the fact that her love of your creation is boundless. But I thank you, Lord God, that your control of it is even greater. Lord, I thank you for this friend, and I pray that you would heal her powerfully in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward at this time? Hello, Jen. What is it you would like to pray for?
My epilepsy. Lately, I've been having several seizures every day. It's impacted my judgment, my ability to have self-control. It's wrecked my family.
Lord God, we come before you today with our sister Jen, who's struggling with epilepsy and seizures that are interrupting not just her physical life at times, but Lord, her judgment, her ability to make sound and wise decisions, how it's not just fracturing her body, but her family, how it's tearing it asunder. Lord God, I pray that you would heal every single facet of this disease. I ask, Lord God, that you would come into her life and remove the seizures, that you would take them from her and heal her of them. Lord God, I also pray for the deeper fractures that are in her family that have been caused by it. And I pray, Lord God, that you would heal those, that you would bring about holiness as a result of wise decisions, as a result of your healing of her epilepsy. Lord God, we know that you are capable of removing that which grabs a hold of her and removes her control. Lord God, I pray that you would be given control of her life and that she would seek to not be seized by epilepsy, but rather to be grasped hold of by you, that she may grasp hold of the life you've called her to. Lord God, I pray for the healing of epilepsy in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Are there others? Thank you, elders. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you have chosen to show up today in our midst, and that you, Lord God, heal us of our infirmities. That you are the God not just of our hearts, but of our lives, of our bodies, and of the very environment in which we walk. That you are not just the God of the everyday, but you are the God of the exceptional. You are the God of the miraculous. And Lord God, I thank you in advance for the work that you have done and for the changes it will make, not only in the lives of those who have prayed, but in the lives of those that they will touch. I pray, Lord God, that you would sink home to us the lessons that James teaches us, and that we would learn to put our faith in you in every facet of our lives, including this, the seeking of your healing. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at this time. We'll give to God his tithes and his offerings. Also, I want to remind you that out in the foyer today, there's two places that you can sign up. One is for the tickets to the celebration service we're having on April 3rd at 6 p.m. That sign-up will be out at a table. It's surrounded by balloons. You can't miss it. The other sign-up, though, is for you to memorialize or to honor your loved ones on Easter Sunday morning. So today is the only chance you have to do this. It is attached to the bulletin board out in the foyer. You do not have to give any money for this. The church has
paid for and bought the Easter lilies, and the lilies will be decorating the church on Easter Sunday, next Sunday morning. But if you would like your loved ones' names to be honored or memorialized on the screen as we do so each Sunday, as we celebrate the coming resurrection, then sign up in the foyer after this service is over. Lord God, I thank you and praise you for the work that you do in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls, in our bodies, and through us in the world. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a faith-filled people, that nothing else would have room in us to live but our belief in you. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
To the mailbox on that bright summer's day, found a letter from her son in a war far away. He spoke of the weather and good friends that he'd made. Said, I've been thinking about
Would you rise for the blessing? May our great God and King bless you mightily with the healing of all kinds of hurts. And may you know the miraculous power of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ this week. And may you share it by your testimony with all those you meet. I ask that He would bless you in the power and the name of Jesus Christ, and that your life would be so different from those around you that they'd want to know how they could have that difference made in their life as well. I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Now go and be the church.